The Extra Mile Podcast. Welcome to the Extra Mile Podcast. In this podcast, we follow the progress of fellow runners across the globe as they train for 5Ks, 10Ks, half or full marathons. Visit our website at www.theextramilepodcast.com and send us your email or audio files at theextramilepodcast@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 129 of the Extra Mile Podcast. This is your host, Kevin, and today is Monday, August the 18th, and I'm out on a noontime, rather humid day run from my house through my neighborhood. I chose to sleep in this morning, I should say, when it was more like 58 to 60 degrees. And so now I find myself, I'm walking on a run break. I find myself out running in more like the low 80s. So shame on me. That'll learn me, won't it? Well, let's see what's going on with me. Training's been the same, slogging along at my 12-minute pace or so. More like 12:30, actually. And I don't actually start my official training for the Jeff Galloway 13.1 for about 3 more weeks. I think my first official long run is a 6-miler. So I'm obviously waiting until I'm to that point in the training program where it hits where I've been running already. A little bit of wind here. I hope that's not screwing things up too badly. Lots more on my training and trying to put it all in perspective with a recent health issue. I'll discuss that at the end of the show after we listen to all the important stuff. Episode 129, this one, I'm going to start off with a submission from my girlfriend Debbie down in, or just outside of Austin, Texas. And the reason I'm doing that is because I have had this submission for quite a while. I can't remember if Deb mentions the time frame she sent this, but it was actually for episode 128. Here's where I discover if this dog's got an invisible fence or not. Pretty sure he does. Yeah, he's just smiling at me. And for putts reasons that I won't go into, I missed this submission in episode 128, for which I gravely apologize. And if I'm not mistaken, my memory is terrible these days, but I'm pretty sure I've done this before to Deb and not put one of her submissions in the show. I promise you, it's not because I don't love everything she has to say. It's the putz factor, Deb, and I'm sorry. So this episode starts with your submission and is dedicated to you. Lots of other good stuff. We've managed to guilt my buddy Norm into submitting again. My friend Tom is going to take us along to the University of North Carolina track for an event. That's pretty cool. More training updates, marriage updates, 101 miles per month streak updates, lots of good stuff. So check it out, and we'll chat again at the end. Go enjoy your extra mile.
Hey, Kevin and all you extra milers. This is Deborah calling from outside Austin, a town called Pflugerville is where I live. It's an old German community, of course. Anyway, it's Sunday morning. I'm near my house getting back from my weekly, sometimes twice a week, grocery store walk. I didn't need much from the store today. Just stuff to make treats for a party at work on Thursday. So I went and got that. As I always do on my way home, I pulled out a plastic sack and I'm picking up all these cans and bottles, and I try and be very zen about that. I try not to be judgmental. And at the same time, like, I think about, have I ever, like, was I ever young enough? Was I in high school or college or whatever, and I threw a bottle out the window of my car, just dropped it on the ground? I don't think so. But I guess people do that. So there's all these bottles and cans, and it's very disturbing to me. And then I just try and take a breath and think, well, what I can do is pick up a bottle I can. So I get this totally full bag, including like 5 Red Bull cans. So I guess there's some very, very hyped up, energetic person out there who is so hyped up they can't find a garbage can or a recycling can or whatever. Anyway, what I would ask of you, extra mileage, let's make this an extra mile, a little informal project. And obviously I'm not asking you to carry a bag out on your run, but at the end of your run, you probably warm down for 5 minutes or something. Or sometimes you're out walking or you're in the park or whatever. Do me a favor, look around, see a piece of trash, can, throw it in the proper receptacle. Even though it's not yours, even though it looks kind of gross, just do that for me, do that for us, do that for the earth. Okay, soapbox done. Let's see if I have enough time to talk to Dr. Amanda. Dr. Amanda, your question about run walking versus running the whole 10K and everybody's weighing in. And what occurs to me is, I don't know which is faster. I don't know which is what you're capable of. But I think one of the series of questions that you want to ask yourself is, you want to think about run walk, you want to think about run, and ask yourself a series of questions. Which way is going to be more healthy for me? And by healthy, I mean in every way. Your body, your mind, your spirit, your sense of accomplishment, your goals. And ask yourself that question about when I'm in training, on the day of the race before the race, on the day of the race after the race, 1 year from the race, 2 years from the race, 5 years from the race, 20 years from the race, and the day that I die, if that's a day that I get to know in advance, if that's a day that I get to be lying there thinking today is the day, which of those two approaches is going to be the thing that is going to bring you more health and more joy? And then go with that. And also know that you can do it one time, and you can make a different choice the next time. You can run a 10K where you run the whole thing, and 3 months later, you can run walk on it, or vice versa. You do not have to decide forever. You can just make one choice one time. Okay, I'm probably out of time. Love you all. Have a great extra mile. Have a wonderful July 4th. If you are in America, wonderful July 4th. Wishes to you. Be safe. Be careful. Enjoy your family. Bye.
Greetings, Kevin and fellow Extra Mile podcast listeners. This is Jim from south of Council Bluffs, Iowa. Haven't checked in for a couple of weeks or more, so thought I'd better do it. Tough day today. It's, what is today? The 22nd of July. It's about 8:24 in the morning. Just finished a 10-miler, and it was brutal. It was a brutal run today. It was 83 degrees, when I started at about 6:30 or so. I think it was 87 they said on the radio, but I don't know. Regardless, the heat has returned. Last week I was kind of sick most of the week with sinus infections and stuff like that, and it was the best week of the year to run. You know, the lows were in the 40s sometimes, and this middle of July. Well, Mother Nature being what she is, this week is hot. So it was a hot run, but I got the 10 miles done. A little bit surprised with the time, 1:26 change. That's not bad for this kind of heat. So I felt like I was taking it easy, but I don't know. All said and done, and heart's still beating, still alive. So a good thing when you're an old guy. But anyway, I just wanted to touch base. I haven't done so in a while. Running podcasts are, once again, I'm getting on my soapbox and I'm complaining. It's getting pretty tough to find a running podcast to listen to. Our Extra Mile has not been out in a while. The Galloway Edition has not been out in a while. Nigel has crawled under a rock somewhere down by the canal and decided to hang it up for a while, I guess. Krister got lost in the forest over in Sweden. I haven't heard from him. Kelowna girl up in Canada, don't even know whatever happened to her. It's not a whole lot to listen to anymore. Norm, he keeps pumping them out. It's just hard keeping track of him sometimes because he changes the name of his podcast, and the way I catch him on my computer, you know, if I don't hear about them with a new name, I don't know they're out there. And I heard that Kevin Gwynn, our mentor, our host, has a new podcast out called Kevin Unplugged. I heard that from Norm, but I cannot find it. So, hey, if you're going to put new podcasts out, you got to let us people know about it. Come on. Hey. Anyway, I guess I'm done. I'm tired. Go home, take a shower, take a nap, do it again tomorrow. This is Jim from south of Council Bluffs, Iowa. Everybody stay safe, stay well hydrated, and we'll talk to you down the line. Thanks, Kevin, for all you do. Talk to you all later. Bye.
Hey, guys, it's Dwayne from Lancaster. Just checking in. I just got back from a wonderful week-long vacation at the beach, Ocean City, New Jersey. And those of you that are faithful listeners will remember that Kevin and his family went there a couple years ago for a week. And I missed him. I went the week after. Just missed him by days. All right. And well, he didn't go this year, but I did. And that's my family vacation spot all growing up. And I really like to go to the island to Ocean City, New Jersey. So anyway, ran the boardwalk a couple times. That's slightly less than a 5 mile run if you do the full loop of the, you know, back one from one end to the other and back again is a good 5 miles. And it's a wonderful run in the mornings. There's a lot of runners out there and bikers, and it's just a neat feeling. I love running at the ocean. I didn't go out in the sand this year. But one thing I did do is run over the newly renovated, and Kevin, you might remember, the 9th Street Bridge, which is the main access onto the island. It's about a 2-mile bridge that goes over the bay. It has been fully renovated, and they've provided a very nice, I'd say like 6-foot-wide concrete path for runners and bikers. And it's awesome because it's sort of undulating. It's not like a steady rise and a steady drop. It's one of those bridges that does need to let boats underneath. So there's a substantial climb right on in the beginning, and then it descends down to a visitor's center of some kind. I'm not sure what it is, a little building that it circles around. And then the middle part is this sort of sloping up and down, undulating, can't even tell what the reason is for. Maybe there's little fishing areas underneath at certain spots. I couldn't figure it out, but it felt like you were on the natural ups and downs of a country road. And then the second hill comes, the other section of the bay that lets boats under, And then they're decent climbs for running. I mean, it was really neat. And at the other end is a Wawa, which those of you all over the world will have no idea what that means. It should be embarrassing for me to say, but I'm so used to what Wawas are. They're little convenience stores that will have all kinds of refreshments there. So that's a nice thing to look forward to on the other side. Anyway, Kevin, if you go next year, make sure you try to run at least the boardwalk and maybe even the 9th Street Bridge. I think you'll appreciate that. That was good. But anyway, I'm back and really have a loose training plan that I'm not sure even what it is for a triathlon coming up in August, August 10th, Olympic distance. And so I'm sort of just getting some biking and swimming in, and I'm definitely getting the running in. But I really need to start focusing in on my half marathon, which is coming up September 7th. That's the Bird in Hand Half Marathon. And hey, I've got, if you've read Runner's World, they did a special on bling, on the medals that runners really crave, these crazy medals. And, well, Bird in Hand was featured in there. It's a authentic, real horseshoe that some of the Amish men kind of... they embellish a bit to make it really sort of a neat presented. They weld on some copper little plate that has all the insignias on. So if you get Runner's World, you'll see the Bird in Hand medal. I got that last year, and let's see if they give us another one this year. I'll have two horseshoes. But I'm not sure what they'll do this year. But that I have to get ready for that. And that's several weeks away, so I need to start implementing some long runs. And getting ready for that, because I'd like to set a PR for that. But speaking of PRs, my main purpose of this particular post, and I'm going to try to keep it quick, is to tell you about the 10K, the first race that I ran this season back in May. And there's a reason I want to tell you about it. I think it's dramatic, and I think there's a lesson to be learned. This is called the Turkey Hill Country Classic. Now, Turkey Hill makes ice cream and iced tea here in central and in eastern part of Pennsylvania, and they host this event every year. It's a 5K, 10K, kids fun run, and a pretty serious bicycle race after all the running's done. That is really cool. And so it's a really neat local event. I've been doing it a few years in a row. Well, last year I set my PR in this 10K with what I thought was a great time for me. Now, granted, I was coming off of a marathon a few weeks earlier, so I had been running a lot, doing speed work, good in stamina, good endurance, and so I pushed pretty hard and had a nice I had a nice run, and my time was 45:38 for that 10K. Now this is a rolling hill 10K, so it makes you work, but I felt like that was a great time. So, okay, so 45:38, that was my time. So, of course, this year, we all want to do better if we're healthy and we are in shape, right? Well, I'm healthy, but I didn't think I was in as good a shape. Number one, it was a cold winter, and I didn't run quite as much this winter as I did last year, which was very mild here in the Northeast. But I did get out, and I stayed in decent shape. The other thing is I hadn't run a marathon this year, and I hadn't done that speed work, and I hadn't put my body through the testing, so I didn't know what to expect. But I went out there in pretty decent shape, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to try to at least set a PR. I'll have to work harder than last year, but I think I can do it. So I set my Garmin with that has a virtual partner. Okay, it's a little guy there that runs, and I'm running underneath of him. And the one who's running fastest is ahead of the other guy. So it's a fun little kind of way to keep track of your pace. And I set the pace to last year's 45:38 finish, which was a 7:24 pace, if I remember correctly. That's what I had to keep. And that would be a challenge, but I was ready to try. It was a beautiful morning. I felt good. And the gun went off, and off we went. It was 2 miles in before I even checked the watch. When I looked down at my watch, I was already ahead of last year's pace. I was at a 7:15 average and was beating that guy I was already about 18 seconds ahead of last year's pace, of last year's time. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to keep running hard and maybe I'll check it later. Okay, so we get to the middle section of the race, which is more of where the hills are. And that's what really separated a bunch of us from the ones behind. Because when we hit the hills, you either hit them hard and get through them and you're going to keep a good time, or you let them kind of conquer you. I didn't let him conquer me, but I was certainly not. There were certainly a lot of people ahead of me. And there was a guy and a girl about that were staying with me the first part of the race, and they kind of went and got ahead there on the hills a little bit. And I thought, okay, I got to keep them in my sights because at least I got to stay with them and try to beat them. And I thought about checking my watch, but I was running at an exertion that I was content with. Not only that, but I felt if I have to run any faster than this, I'm going to be slightly depressed. And so I was faced with some of these mental games, and I thought, you know what, I'm not even going to check my watch. I don't want to have to look down and see that I've lost time and start to panic and think, now I've got to push harder and I don't feel like I can. So I said, don't even check it. Just, you're running your best race. Just accept the outcome. All right, that's where I think I made my mistake, because we got to about a mile left and I still didn't check, but I was gaining on these other two. And when we made our last turn to the left onto a road that goes slightly downhill all the way to the finish line for the last half mile, and you can see the finish line up there in the church parking lot, and it's pretty exciting. You know you can keep a nice hard pace. Well, I did push, and I ended up, was able to pass this guy that I thought might be in my age range, and I want to try to win a medal this year. And then it was just this one speedy woman in front of me that I had to catch yet, and I didn't know if I could do it, but I passed her with a second to go, crossed the finish line, and that was it. I pushed my watch, and I looked down at it, and I realized, oh my gosh, I think I'm very close to last year's time, because I did the math, and I started my watch when I crossed the start line, but the gun went off about 6 seconds earlier, and I could tell by the numbers that I was very close to last year's time. Well, when the results came out, don't you know, I was 1 second behind last year's time. So I finished at 45:39, and that was just by feel. That was just running a hard race and doing what I felt was the best I could do. But I'll tell you what, if I had just glanced at my watch, even with a several hundred yards to go, which would still have been a mistake, because if I was 10 seconds behind, that would have been a hard thing to make up. I should have checked earlier. But basically, the message is, don't do your homework, figure out the numbers, set your watch with a virtual partner who's running there to help you, run the race well, and then not look at the watch to get an idea of where you're at. Don't do that. Instead, follow through with your plans and take a glance and make yourself work harder if you have to. So it was just I just love the drama of racing, and even if it's against myself, that was dramatic for me. And a little bit traumatic to be 1 second off my pace. And honestly, a real quick caveat, I really think I tied last year, but the girl that I passed with a second to go, I think her tag and my tag got interchanged, and she got posted up in front of me with the 45:38 time, and I got the 45:39 time. I have to take it. It's the official thing that's posted on the websites. But I think I actually tied last year's time to the second, and they just flip-flopped the tags, because I remember our conversation afterwards. She was saying, if you were another woman, I wouldn't have let you pass me and stuff like that. And I was sure that I passed her. Anyway, I'm not going to claim the 38 seconds. I'm going to go with what the timer says there. So anyway, that was my story. That's it. Hope that's not too long for you guys. Thanks for being patient with my stuff. Anyway, let's hear more reports. Thanks.
Hello, Kevin, and all you extra milers. This is Tom from Carrboro, North Carolina, and I'm actually on the Belk track at the University of North Carolina, where every Wednesday there's a big all-comers track event that I do called the Godiva Track Meet. It has nothing to do with chocolates, but I'm going to be interviewing people and asking people how their runs are going, or how their, and a lot of people are here, and it's really a fun all-comers event. So we are getting ready here for the first event of the evening. It's the 1500 meter. This is my friend Ken, and he is a regular here. What is it about Godiva?
Oh, interesting thing about Godiva for me is that I was one of the original members back in, close to the original members back in 79 and 80. The club formed in 1975, so I participated in 79 and 80, and then I wasn't a member for many years, but then in 2008 I resumed. And I recorded my times from 78 and 79. It's interesting to see the degradation in my skill from 79 to 2009. You could probably plot those points on a graph and predict the exact day that I'm going
to
die.
Something I'm looking forward to, don't you? Yeah. So what do you look forward to in this?
Each year I try to get some times that are better than the previous years, but for most cases I'm unsuccessful at that.
I'm always in denial until the race starts, until the... So, anyway, just completed the 1500. Just didn't have it today. I knew it by the first lap. I had to slow down. I did it about 7:59, and I've done it a little bit faster, but you know, some days are good, and some days aren't, but hey, at least I'm doing it.
It's been always been great. Even most people are faster than I am.
Same with me.
Yeah, I have run with them at the Olmsted, and they have waited for me.
Yeah.
And that is very nice.
What about the track?
The track is wonderful. I have done 2 years where I have gotten the Ironman Award.
Yeah,
and
which
it
I got.
Which has been great for, it's great workout for speeding.
Basically hitting just for attendance, but it's hard to get all those.
No, all those weeks, and then the weather.
Yeah.
Sometimes 100 degrees.
Yeah.
And it's a great, most people here are very fast, so it's a good training for you to try to catch up or at least.
It's helped me in my 5K.
Yes.
Okay.
Can we have a senior to repeat? I mean, just get back to me. That doesn't mean you should quit.
Are you going to be running?
No way.
They are.
Yeah. You going to be running?
No.
No.
Okay.
Setting up the timers for the 100 meter dash.
You need 2 more timers, please.
And since I've decided this season I'm going to take it easy, since I'm training for my first marathon, I will not do any sprints. I'll try to protect myself a little bit.
Why Godiva? Great speed workout for long runs. Yes, the same.
We have 7.
All right.
One went down.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
I'm going faster.
Meter race walk. Come all the way up to the starting line.
Walk around.
Does anybody need starting blocks? Okay. Walker set. Go.
This is Charles. He's what do you call your position? Coordinator of this?
Meet director.
Meet director. And how long have you been doing this?
Since 1997.
Wow. Did you used to run this?
I ran in the summer series. I do usually run one event a night, so I'm very impressed by people who run 3 and 4 events a night. Gordon Keeler directed it before, and he was ready to start a family and needed a replacement, so I thought it would be easier to hold a stopwatch than to run a mile in the summer heat.
Yeah. So you've enjoyed it. Have you done other events with the group, the Godiva group?
One of the favorite events is the New Year's Day run, 5 miles on New Year's Day, and for a long time, the best part of that race was the entry form, which Owen Astrachan always made a trivia contest. So he would ask these bizarre questions. You run 5 miles trying to figure out what was the country that used to be Upper Volta, and then you come back afterwards and find the answers.
Great. Well, thanks. All right. Just finished the 400. I think that's the hardest one. In about, in my time zone, about 1 minute and 41 seconds. So that's it for my Godiva. And until next time, which I have, when I have a more traditional submission.
Hello, Kevin. Hello, my friend. And hello, all you extra miler listeners. This is Just Norm, and I wanted to offer a submission due to both wanting to and also being riddled with guilt that I missed episode 128 submission deadline. I am out on an 8-mile run in West Central Florida at around 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The heat index is about 97 degrees with, God only knows, how much humidity. I'm at mile 6, and I have this to offer all of you extra milers. You are all, without any doubt, a loving, supporting, kind, reasonable, and caring community of people. Yep, that's what I say after listening to most of episode 128. I think I got about almost 2 hours of the 200 heat stroke, hello, almost 2 hours of the 2 hour and 20 minute podcast, which is fine with me because I'm on about a 2 mile run, or I'm sorry, 2 hour run. I enjoyed every single submission that I heard from everybody up until the last person I was listening to, when the earbuds would simply no longer stay in my ear. And the last submission I heard was by our friend Jim of the Seeker Podcast, the second of his submissions, maybe even the third. He was talking about the run, walk, run method when my earbuds sweated out of my ears. But prior to that, it seemed that there was a theme interwoven throughout that podcast in which there was nothing but support, encouragement. Oh, wow. I'm getting a phone call. Hold on. I'm in the middle of the woods. And I'm getting a phone call. Let's see. Oh, hold on. Okay, sorry about that. Those are my lovely girls calling me on the phone to see what I wanted for dinner. And I am far from done and far away from home, so I let them know to go ahead on without me. But anyway, the theme that I heard was nothing but encouraging, loving, kind, and reasonable from every person that submitted to this great venue, the Extra Mile Podcast. And so I wanted to express that first, and I also like to try to keep things to a minimum in terms of time. I think I'm a little over right now, so just a quick ditty to let you know that August is coming. I will probably start some sort of a loose, unorthodox running plan, as my plans for racing will be the Xterra Wild Horse 13.1 trail run, which I did last year. It was the first time I did it last year. Didn't quite know what to expect, but now I feel like I might be able to navigate it just a bit better. So that's what I will be aiming towards for the first official race of Norman season. That'll be the last weekend in October, I believe. So I hear a lot of people talking about their training plans. I used to incorporate one, but as the past year or two has gone by, it's just been a loose leaf building up of mileage, because my goals are so unorthodox and loose leaf. You know, finish the run and run it well. Well, I've taken enough of your time, but I dearly wanted to get a submission in and tell you folks how much I appreciate you, and your personality and your character shine through, and your host, Kevin, the Bishop of Benevolence, would be proud. This is Just Norm. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hey everybody, it's Katie from Princeton, New Jersey. It is Saturday, July 26th. I'm actually out in the middle of Princeton today. You can hear the cars on my long run. So it was great to have episode 128, Kevin. Thanks for that. It filled up, I don't know, I guess about 2.5 hours of my 4-hour run. So I really appreciate it. A few highlights for me. One, I guess we'll start with the end, which is that meditation. So it's terrific. In fact, at the end, when the theme music came back on, if I had a heart monitor on, I think you would have seen a real spike in my heart rate. It scared the crap out of me. But anyway, it was great. So well done, Chris. Really like that. And then two other comments. One is thanks to Chris for, although he didn't remember my name, remembering the comment I made about running and comparing it to traffic circles or rotaries, as you call them up in Massachusetts. Chris is a hero of mine. Love listening to him. I guess I've been listening to him as long as I've been listening to the Extra Mile podcast. I wonder which one came first. I don't remember. And then third, to Tricia, who was asking about how far to run before the marathon. You know, I've run 5 marathons, and I've done it different way every time. For me, what I find is when I hit more than 40 miles in a week, I get hurt. And so I just try to keep my total mileage down below 40 miles. This last time around, my longest run was 29 miles, and that was too long. It aggravated my knee, which had been bothering me a little bit. And so I ended up 4 weeks out really having to nurse the knee and not being able to run much before the marathon. So, you know, I think that was a garbage truck. Obviously, it's going to be different for everybody. But for me, as I look back over my 5 marathons and 20-plus years of running, I think it's all about the total mileage. So this time for the fall, I am planning my longest run to be the full marathon distance. So I'm going to run 26 miles the week before, or I'm sorry, 4 weeks before the marathon. But I'm going to just be careful in that week not to run more than 10 miles during the 2 days during the week when I run. So that's my approach. And who knows if it'll work or not, but I thought I'd share the progression of my learning with you. All right, everybody, have a great rest of your summer, and look forward to hearing from all of you soon. Bye.
Hi, Kevin and all you extra milers. This is Betsy from Madison, Wisconsin, calling with a training and life update. It's been a busy couple of months and several months since I've called in. Just want to run through some highlights quick and then tell you a little bit about what I'm most excited about this summer. Did a couple of races, kind of fun races with my kids in the spring. We did one of the color runs with a crew of 11-year-olds, and my 5-year-old ran that as well. Those races are just so much fun. They're overpriced, but there's a lot of new runners, run walkers, people of all shapes and sizes, and oh my gosh, the kids just so enjoyed it, and the first thing they said when we crossed the finish line was that they wanted to do it again, so that's a pretty great thing. We also had a fun little kayak run. The inaugural Duck Dash was put on here in Madison by the folks at Wingra Boats. It was a 2K kayak, canoe, or paddleboard. We all kayaked. Actually, I guess my daughter and her friends canoed, the rest of us kayaked, and then a 2K run back to the start, and so very, very fun and silly, and a great way to get the spring water sports season going around my house. Another super fun thing is my partner of 15 years and I just got married in Minnesota because Wisconsin's still kind of trying to figure that out. So that was last weekend. Missed a couple of weeks of good running because of that, but I think it's a good excuse that I'm kind of back on board. So that's a fun event this summer. Feeling great about that. I am currently training for Madison Mini Half Marathon in August, and then the New York City Marathon in November, which I was lucky enough to get into via the lottery. So trying to get back on track with training for that, with the half marathon coming up in about 3 weeks. But again, busy summer, what I'm most excited about is I was able to talk a crew of my patients, a small group of my patients in my family practice panel to join me for a inaugural running run walk run group. I have three mother-daughter, teenage daughter-mother pairs who have for the most part never run before. And then one other patient of mine who's a young woman who has always wanted to run but has been limited, kept from doing so because she's been blind since birth. She's a pretty phenomenal young lady and has done everything. She's extremely independent. She owns her own house, works full-time, graduated from the UW here, has an incredible service dog who helps her maintain all of that independence, but going out for a run is something she's just not been able to do safely, and she's always wanted to run a 5K, and so there's the seven of us out there with a couple other supportive friends, another patient of mine who drops in occasionally who's done incredibly well with Run Walk Run over the last couple years, lost a ton of weight, has run some half marathons, so she's been joining us. And I just ran this morning with Megan and her seeing eye dog, Verona, and she was telling me she, in addition to working full-time and lots of other things, also trains service dogs, and she's excited to be getting a new puppy who she's going to be training, who she's planning to also train to run, so that this puppy's future person, who is a friend of Megan's, will be able to run with this dog once she's up and going. So that is just so cool. I have, given pretty much everyone in the group a copy of Jeff's book, and we have, pretty wide variety of fitness. One of these folks is really just working on being able to walk consistently for the half hour, 45 minutes, but she's doing great, and this morning told me it was getting easier, and she may try to add some jog breaks in there pretty soon. Megan and her dog are out in front of the group, and we actually ran a 3.1 earlier this week, and she was just thrilled about that. I did give everybody a copy of Jeff's book, except that I wasn't able to find an Audible version for Megan. And so I will just put that question out there to you, Kevin, and or Jeff, whether there is either a Braille or some kind of Audible version of any of her books. I'd really love to share something with Megan, and unfortunately the traditional ebook or hard copy book just doesn't work for her.
So either Braille or Audible would be great. I know there are a fair number of blind runners out there, more and more, I think. And so I'm hoping we can make the Run, Walk, Run model more accessible to those folks as well. Anyway, it has been a fun, crazy summer. I'm halfway through a 12-mile run. I'm going to go finish it off. Sorry for being a little long-winded here today. But I, again, so enjoying everybody else's updates. Keep them coming. Wish you well. Hope the rest of the summer is fantastic. And take care.
Hey, Kevin and all you extra milers. This is Dr. Amanda calling from Scarsdale, New York, with a training update. I've been a little absent from checking in, mostly just because my life is in turmoil right now, but my training's actually going pretty well. 2 weekends ago, I completed a 20-mile training run, which went surprisingly well. I was lucky enough that a good friend of mine drove all the way down to Scarsdale to run the trails with me, and it was just a beautiful day and a beautiful run. And I started speed work this past weekend and did 6x1-mile repeats. They all came in under my assigned pace, and I felt pretty good. I completed a magic mile at 8:42, which ties my record for fastest magic mile and predicts a sub-5-hour marathon. So we'll see how my training for Hartford goes, and hope for the best. I am leaving on Friday for Madison, Wisconsin to see my youngest brother get married, and then we are taking a long trip to France later this month. So I'm hoping to find a way to get all my training runs in despite some travel this month. My next race is on September 1st. I'm running the New Haven 20K. I have the Bronx 10-miler at the end of September and then the Hartford Marathon in the first half of October. So it's a busy racing fall for me, and I'm looking forward to it. Any thoughts and prayers as I try to sort through my personal life would be greatly appreciated, and I'm hoping everyone is enjoying their extra mile. Take care. Bye.
Hey, Kevin and all you extra milers. This is Suzanne finally calling in from the midway point of Chicago's Lakefront Trail. Somebody cue the theme to The Godfather, because this enforcer woke up to find a Canadian goose egg at the foot of her bed. Yeah, enforcers get enforced. And just to let you know, Canadian geese are one of those that Runner's World noted as being one of the 10 most dangerous animals. Yeah, that you can see on the path. Anyway, keeping you apprised, polar vortex pretty well got me, but in February I got out of town and ran the Birmingham Mercedes Marathon. I just ran half, and if ever you want to run a top-notch race, do it. People, water, Gatorade, every mile, gummy bears, mints every mile, goo every other mile, and they place it before the water. Fruit starting at mile 7 every other mile. Amazing. It's a double loop course, so I was really glad I wasn't running a marathon, because there is one bad hill. Now, the hill is not as bad as the wonderful Whiskey Hill in Lynchburg, but it's a hill. But the weather was gorgeous, and had a wonderful time, and I'm going to brag on my husband, who ran his very first 5K ever at age 77 and 3/4 without training. He did it in 38 minutes, and the photographer caught him crossing the finish line, both feet in the air in khakis and a Tilly hat. I don't know about you, but the race photographers usually catch me when I'm looking like one of the walking dead. But there you go. In April, again, made my Lynchburg, Tennessee Mecca visit, and I placed 3rd in my age group out of 4, but, you know, that's my whole race strategy, just outlive everybody. In May, I went to Fargo, North Dakota, again, another fantastic flat and fast race, ran the half, had a wonderful time. In fact, that's my new motto, along with striving to run the smiliest race ever, Emma, from Australia, New Zealand. I can't remember. That is just like, oh, that's what I want to do from now on. I'm just going to run my smiliest race. Who needs a Garmin? Who needs a time? There were people all over the city. We did miss seeing the woodchopper, but, you know, hey, that'll be another trip. Again, my husband decided to run with no training, did the 10K, finished in an hour 20. In June, he was 78 people. So there's hope for all of us. I'm currently kind of on summer plodding through, getting ready for my runniversary. And I have signed up for Jeff in December, and I'm looking forward to seeing all of you there. So I promise I'll be back with more stories and fun and all the other good stuff. It's a good summer, people. Talk to you later. Y'all keep running on.
Well, I was going to make a recording for my friend at the Extra Mile, and I tried yesterday. But unfortunately, it went all wrong. So I told him, I said, don't use it. I said, save it, I'll send you a better one. So today, I'm going to record him a better one. Oh! So this is Sandy and Carlos running on Mount Doug, saying hello to all my hundreds of thousands.
Yeah,
my thousands of Extra Mile listeners. Actually, I think the Extra Mile probably gets 1,000 listeners, but I don't. I've never gone over 100 on a single show, which is pretty good.
It's so fun.
It's good enough.
Keeps
me off the beer for a while.
Don't be tripping.
No, I won't. I almost tripped. Keeps me off the beer for at least half a day. Hello. Guess what? Anyway. So, yes, Kevin. Good work with your podcast. Both of them, all of them. I'm glad that you're still pursuing your Kevin Unplugged. The Spreaker platform is very useful for that kind of thing. If any of your listeners wanted to send you a submission, they could always download the Spreaker app to their phones and then record, and you could download it from the Spreaker website for your show. Might actually get a few more people interested in the noble art of podcasting. Sandy's listening to me behind, wondering who the heck I'm talking to, because I'm sure as hell not talking to her. You're talking to me? Did you ever see that movie? Taxi Driver? Did you ever see Taxi Driver? Probably did. Anyway, so we're into just about hitting the glory zone right about now. Sandy ran for 5 hours yesterday. I had to walk an hour at the end because she ran out of water. So, be warned, drink plenty and drink early, and plan a route that might take you past a water fountain. So, this is Carlos and Sandy on Mount Doug, wishing all the Extra Mile athletes a wonderful, hot, exciting, playful summer of training. Bye-bye.
Hey, Kevin and all you extra milers. This is Suzanne calling back because this is what happens when I don't write things down. I totally forgot to tell everybody that Manda from Montgomery, Alabama, and I were like 20 feet apart at the start of the Mercedes race and did not see each other. We know what each other looks like. Now, the only thing I'm going to say is I had on purple Johnny Bridges, and somehow she managed to miss that. Don't know how that works out. But next time you know you're in a race, let's publicize it, put it on Facebook. We need a hookup because I'm going to see all of you in December. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hey, Kevin and all you extra milers. This is Jim from South Central Pennsylvania and the host of the Seeker Podcast. So, just calling in with a training update. So, for the month of July, I was able to manage 101 miles run. And you might be wondering, okay, so what's so important about that besides the mileage number? Well, actually, I've been able to do at least 101 miles every single month for 2014, which is a first for me. Normally, I kind of peter out somewhere around the 80-mile mark. For the month. So being able to do this consecutively month after month after month is really kind of a huge deal for me. As far as my running goes, I've been under the weather for the last 2 weeks. I got some sort of a lung infection, upper respiratory thing. It started off as a cold, or at least what I thought was a cold, right at the tail end of July. And it progressed from there, I think, probably to a sinus infection. And from there, it progressed to what my doctor told me was bronchitis. So I'm on day 8 now of antibiotics, and this is actually the first day in 13 days that I've been actually able to run nonstop for any period of time, for any period of time more than a half a mile. So I did a 4-miler today, so I actually had my first 4 miles for the month of August logged in now. So I have 97 more to go if I want to keep my streak going. I got nothing big on the horizon right now. I was actually just kind of looking to see if I can't find some way to sneak in another marathon in September. And actually one of them that I might look at right now is the Omaha Marathon. Because, again, I'm trying to do a marathon in every state, and I don't have Nebraska yet, so that's a possibility. We'll see. I do have the Runner's World Half Marathon and Running Festival coming up near the end of October, and I have the Richmond Marathon coming up right around the middle of November. And I had planned on doing a marathon in December. Still may very well do that, but actually, to be quite honest, I'm now giving some more thought to maybe instead just going to Atlanta and running with a bunch of people that I hear on this podcast. So we're still kind of debating that. So more when I know more. So that's all I have. Hopefully your training is going well and you're having a wonderful summer. Because it's August, folks. The summer's almost over here. So, get in while you can. So that's all I got. Have a wonderful day, and you all enjoy your extra mile.
Hi, all you extra milers out there. This is Elizabeth from Sioux Falls. Just coming home about 6:15 in the morning from a workout with a strength training personal trainer. I've been doing that now for the last couple of months, realizing that I needed to build up some strength in my body while I still train for halves and full marathons. Anyway, that went fun. I'm still not quite awake, but it's a beautiful morning out. It's in the low 60s over here. Well, training for the Sioux Falls Half Marathon, that's coming up in about 3.5 weeks. I have a long run scheduled for this Saturday and another one for the following, and then hopefully after that I'll be ready for the race. It's going well. No injuries, fortunately, so far. But I am beginning to look out for a marathon for next year sometime. So if anybody has any ideas for a marathon for 2015, preferably in the spring, in the Midwest, that would be great. Please, please let me know. Otherwise, Kevin and all the rest of you, have a wonderful week and hope you get some great running time out there. Talk to you all later.
Hello, Kevin and all you extra milers. This is Avi from Allen, Texas, calling in for first time in a long time. I think it's been since April or May of 2013 since I last had a submission. I just wanted to chime in on my thoughts regarding the question of whether you can run faster using the run, walk, run method, and I'm just going to share my experience with you. I have run both marathons and half marathons using both the run all the way method and the run, walk, run method, and what I have found is that whatever your distance is that you are running, if you can run it straight with just running straight and have negative splits, then you'll probably be faster by just running straight. If, however, you find that you slow down as the race gets on to the later miles, then I have found that you'll be faster if you use the run, walk, run method. And my example is that, so for a 10K, my running straight time well beats my run, walk, run time. For a half marathon, my run, walk, run time and my running straight time are roughly equivalent to each other. They're about within less than a minute of each other, my PRs for each. And finally, when I get to the marathon, I find that I can run a good 10 to 12 minutes faster using the run, walk, run method than I can by running straight. I just slow down too much at the end if I run straight. And when I do the run, walk, run method, at the distance, I actually speed up as the race gets on. And so that's my input on this question. Can you run faster using the run, walk, run method? This is Avi from Allen, Texas, and I am out.
Greetings, Kevin and Extra Mile Podcast listeners. This is Jim from south of Council Bluffs, Iowa, checking in. Haven't checked in for a couple of weeks, at least, I don't think. Of course, there's nothing really to check in about. Same old boring Jim. 10 miles 3 days a week, and then on the bike 3 days a week for 25 to 30 miles at a crack. So, you know, again, not a lot of excitement in my training program as I train for old age. But today is, what is today? Sunday the 17th, I believe, of August. You know, staying darker later in the morning, getting darker earlier at night. So that's starting to kick in terms of when I get out and I hit the old Wabash Trace Trail. But today, so like I said, Sunday the 17th, another 10-miler. I ran from the trailhead, went out 3 1/4, back 3 1/4, out 1 3/4 and back. Because I wanted to stay on the flats. During the week, I run hills. And, you know, not being the smartest person, the sharpest knife in the drawer, I think the saying is, I have a tendency to run too fast coming down the hills, trying to get down into those sevens. And that does take a toll on you. It doesn't take a toll on me. But been doing some pretty good times. Today was 1:24.5. So that's just a little over 8:25, 8:27 minute miles. And that's not bad. That's right at my 12-year average. Since I started logging online and keeping my records online, you know, it's got a log there that shows you how many miles you've run since you started logging online. And it's up over 16,000 and shows you the average. It was 8:27. And so far this year, my average is about 8:30. So I'm a little bit, I guess at 63 years of age, I'm starting to lose a little bit of time, which should be expected. But here in the last couple of weeks, I've been getting them down into those, about that 820, 825, 826 range, which I got to be happy with at this stage of the game. So that's what I'm doing. Hope everybody is staying well, staying injury-free. That's the key as you train for maybe these fall marathons and half marathons and whatever races you're training for. So the highlight of the day was I got out of the car, looked down, and there's a dollar bill in the parking lot. So, every now and then a guy finds a lucky penny. Today I found a lucky dollar bill. Highlight of the run. So with that, I'll say goodbye. Thanks for all you do, Kevin, and all you podcasters out there who listen. I've been listening to genealogy podcasts again because there just aren't any running podcasts out there. Nigel, did you fall in the canal and drown? Come on. There's others who are just AWOL. Christopher, you get lost in the forest again. I don't know what's going on with you. Kevin, you'll wait a while before you put one out, but then when you put one out, it's a two-hour one. So I'm no problem with that. That'll get me through a couple runs. So anyway, that's it. Went over my three-minute limit, so probably get the axed. Thanks, Kevin. Take care, everybody. See ya somewhere. Bye.
So this is the beginning of the Bullinkinsop Trestle. And this is the Lochside Rail Trail. There's some historic information. Anyway, we're going to go over the bridge now. So, you'll be able to see the length of the bridge. I'm not putting out a podcast today, so this will be it for me from the trestle. But there's absolutely no wind today, which is great. I do have the iPhone out of its case so that I can video, but normally it would be in that pouch. I don't record with it in there because there would be too much clothing noise. So this is Blenkinsop Lake, and there's Farmer Roy and Mount Doug and a flock of Canada geese. Can't get more iconic than that, eh? Hi. So this is just about the end of this real-time video. I just have enough time to wish Kevin and Norman and all my friends a great day, and I'll see you on the extra mile, or I'll be listening to you on the extra mile podcast coming out soon. The geese are back. That was a very short training run for them. So.
Well, there you go, huh? Episode 129. I love this stuff. Thanks, everybody, for submitting for this podcast. And thanks for submitting for the last one and forgiving me and for forgiving me for not putting it in until this one. Just a couple of notes. Dwayne, there is no way I'm going to run across that 9th Street Bridge. No way. I will, however, be more than happy and excited to run the boardwalk with you anytime. That's my kind of run. Good on you for getting over that bridge. I know Jim from Council Bluffs and also Carlos in today's episode mentioned a little something about another podcast that I'm involved in. Yeah, I know. Just what you need. Another Kevin podcast. Let me explain it. I'm really not talking about it too much. I put together a blog for quite some time. It's called Kevin Bonks. But the problem with the blog, and I like them a lot, but it takes a lot of time. You know, because you got to stop what you're doing and put your thoughts down. So when a few of my friends, namely Carlos and Norm, put together things on Spreaker, I checked them out and discovered, from my perspective, that the Spreaker thing reminds me a lot of a blog. You know, it's very limited. Unless you pay extra each month, you're limited to 30 minutes per episode. Also, there's a storage size. So, you know, you might be able to get, depending on how many episodes or how big the files are, you know, 5-10 episodes out there. And then you gotta start deleting things to make room for your new stuff. But one thing that I thought was I could just run along and give my thoughts. Sometimes a 2 or 3 minute thought, sometimes 10, 15, 20 minute thoughts, just kind of like sitting down and writing a blog, you know? So I started something like that. If you go to Spreaker and you search on, I think I'm calling it Kevin Unplugged. If you search on that, you'll find it. I guess I am advertising because I'm talking about it, but I'm not actively seeking all my friends to come over and listen. I'm doing it kind of for myself. I don't talk about anything over there that you would find earth-shattering. It's just that it's a lot harder to put something together for the extra mile. A lot more editing, uploading, you know, time-consuming. And sometimes I just want to open a microphone and talk a little bit. So if you're so inclined and feel like it, it's over at Spreaker, and it's called Kevin Unplugged. So enough of that. Let's talk for a couple seconds about my health. And I only bring this up because it impacts my training quite a bit. And you and I are friends, right? You will probably recall, if you've been around, late last year in the September-October time frame, I was diagnosed during a yearly physical with atrial fibrillation, AFib, for those of us who can't pronounce it very well. Now, I know there's a fancy term for it, which I can't remember, but the AFib that I have is continuous. In other words, I know some people have heart racing from time to time. Some people go out for a run and find that during that run for a few minutes, their heart will race. They will be in AFib for a small period of time. Some people will be sitting watching TV and just be able to feel their chest pumping a little heavier than normal. But then it goes away. Well, my AFib is continuous. I don't know exactly what made it start. I can probably narrow it down to within a couple of days when it came back. I guess I should back up. I had it last September. I went in for a cardioversion, I think that's what they call it, process, procedure. And that actually solved the problem, and I was back. Normal arrhythmia. And I was feeling great. But about 3-4 weeks ago, I started getting those symptoms again. Through a little bit of nagging from my friend Jim from the Seeker podcast, I made a doctor's appointment, had another EKG, and sure enough, my old friend AFib was back. I actually have a follow-up with my cardiologist on Wednesday, the 20th, I think. You hear me breathing? That's Mr. AFib, by the way. Do you remember when you first started running? Think back. Heading out the door, and I don't know how far you ran that first time. Maybe you ran 10 steps and had to quit. Maybe you ran a quarter mile, whatever. Ran the block once, whatever it was. But do you remember how you felt and why you stopped? If you're like me, and I suspect you are, you stopped because you couldn't catch your breath. You know? For somebody just getting up off the couch, they can't run far enough for their legs to start getting tired or any of those other physical things to start kicking in and making them stop. It's just the fact they can't catch their breath. Well, to a degree, that's how this AFib is hitting me these days. I'm doing a lot more walking right now because I'm speaking with you, but I'm to the point that I'm running about 1240 pace, which is about a minute and a half, close to 2 minutes slower than I had been. My ratio, I'm playing around with it, but the one I've kind of stuck with lately, because it seems to be working pretty well, is a 1 to 30. 1 minute walking, 30 seconds, I'm sorry, 1 minute running, 30 seconds walking. And I'm typically still doing my 5 miles. But my average heart rate during my run has gone from about 145 to about 180. So it's obvious my heart's just working a lot harder. Right now I'm running up a cul-de-sac with what I would call a slight upgrade. And it won't be very long before I'm pretty much winded and will have to stop. I was able to run with the Energizer Bunny a couple days ago, Saturday morning. Did a 5 miler, but the first two I did with her without walking. About a 10 and a half minute pace.
Oh, look at that.
kids are dropping a rock on ants. Oh, to be young again. I think it by the sprinkler. So anyway, that's my health-related issue. The good news is, no doctor I have seen so far has mentioned anything about not running. In fact, I obviously asked that question and will revisit it in a couple of days as well. But it appears that I can keep running just for not long periods of time. I still plan on getting to Atlanta in December. Just may be a little more difficult than I thought it was going to be. I have a host of questions to ask this doctor on Wednesday. And honestly, I'm not that certain I'm going to get the answers. Not the answers that I want. I don't think I'm going to get answers anyway. I was asking him some. I think this doctor, I think, is a very renowned cardiologist in town. But he doesn't appear to be running centered, you know? When I ask him questions about AFib as it relates to exercise and aerobic fitness, he didn't impress me too much, so I may have to look around for other resources. So anyway, that's it. I'll know more. I certainly can't go on, you know, getting these cardio versions once every 8 or 9 months. So best guess is I'm to the point where I'll learn to live with it. I am on blood thinners, by the way. So more to come on that. That's it for me. I blabbed on long enough. I did want to end the show with one particular item that struck me. As you all know, in the last couple weeks, the world lost a great comic. Robin Williams was an amazing talent, but it appears that we were only privy to a very small part of who Robin Williams really was. I have had some mixed feelings about the coverage in the news about his tragic death. Let me tell you something. I have a very close friend who did the same thing that Robin Williams did. One of my best friends in the world committed suicide 2 years ago using the exact method that Mr. Williams used. And I was with this friend about 3 days prior to that event. And we spoke about his mental health. But here's my point. I've seen a lot of the news coverage, and I've not been too impressed with it. So when I was listening to the Seeker podcast a few days ago, my buddy Jim, who is a nurse in the psychiatric field and has been for about 20 years, I think, to hear him talk about it kind of hit home. So for those of you who don't subscribe to Jim's Seeker podcast, I asked Jim and he graciously gave me permission to put his little piece, his thoughts from the Seeker podcast about Robin Williams' death into the Extra Mile. And it's good stuff. So I will end the show with that and promise you that I'll get to episode 130 a lot faster this time, huh? Thanks for everybody who submitted. Thanks for the download. The last hour, hour and a half of your life. And that'll do it. Y'all have a good day and enjoy your extra mile.
Having been a nurse for over 20 years now, and almost 20 of those years being in the field of psychiatry and substance abuse, I get very frustrated when opportunities to do good are squandered. Now, certainly, Mr. Williams deserves all the accolades he's getting now on his career. It was a stellar career. He did an awful lot that was good for other people. Made a lot of people smile. He deserves all the accolades he's getting right now. Sadly, though, issues like mental health, specifically things like, of course, depression and substance abuse, only make the papers, though, when something horrible happens. And it's usually when something really horrible happens. You don't hear about all the average people who have substance abuse because they're not really newsworthy. I disagree with that, but that's the way it works, I suppose. And you don't hear about the average people who get depressed and kill themselves because, again, that doesn't make the papers. It apparently isn't newsworthy. What you should know is that over 100 people kill themselves every single day. So on the day that Mr. Williams passed, about 100 other people also died on that day from suicide. It is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. Now, it's based on the most recent data, which, you know, again, it takes a couple of years for that stuff to catch up. But again, most recent data. And it's been around there, about number 10, for quite some time. In fact, it's one of those things that we're required to monitor in the hospital. The federal government actually requires us to look at suicide awareness in the hospital because it's such an issue. And yet you hear very little educationally about it. Now, more people, again, this year will die from suicide than will die from HIV and AIDS. And yet you can probably give me chapter and verse about how AIDS is spread, how AIDS is caused, maybe even where AIDS originally came from, signs and symptoms of AIDS, maybe even some medications used to treat AIDS. And that's because the folks who are trying to put the information out on HIV and AIDS have done a fantastic job on education. And yet far more people will kill themselves this year than will die from HIV or AIDS. So when we have a situation like this, again, the man deserves all the accolades he can get. But it would be nice also if there were some very serious talk and a lot of really good information put out there about signs and symptoms of depression, maybe where your local mental health access points are in your community, things that can really help people. And instead of this simply being a tragedy, this can be rolled into something where actually some really positive good comes out of it, that being education and the prevention of suicides in the future. So that's kind of my frustration with this. I'm not really hearing a whole lot of it. Like I had said originally in the podcast, it didn't tape. I wasn't actually going to say anything about this because, frankly, I think there's too many people talking about it right now. But the reason I felt the need to say something is none of them were saying the things that I've basically just said to you right now. I'm not hearing that anywhere. I'm hearing a lot of stuff about how what a great guy he was, and that's fine again. But this is an opportunity to maybe save some other people's lives. I can certainly tell you, after 20 years with dealing with people who have struggled with this disease, that the thing that they would want more than the accolades on their life is to know that their death inspired people to learn about this disease and prevent future tragedies. To friends and family that you know and love.
Thanks for joining us on the Extra Mile Podcast. Please visit our website at www.theextramilepodcast.com to see the show notes for this episode of the podcast. You can email us with your feedback about the show at theextramilepodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to send us your audio comments to let us know how your training is going, then please send an audio file to theextramilepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks very much for downloading the show, and we look forward to joining you again soon on the next edition of the Extra Mile Podcast.